This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dukes and Bell on the sidelines with the dogs.
We're going to let you hear from Jonathan Ledbetter, who joined the Midday Guys. Rick and John coming up in just a few. It is Dukes and Bell. We're live at SEC Media Days as well as Day 2 continues. And more of Kirby Smart in about 20 minutes, guys. We'll discuss things that he talked about with his team and the growth of where Georgia is and where they want to go.
It's the Dog Report, guys. We do it every day right around 4 o'clock. Brought to you by our buddies at Brightbox Electrical, 770-901-2500. For everything you need, from man caves to making sure your house is protected from the surge. And by the way, wrath of God-type weather on the south side of town yesterday after work. Holy moly. 770-901-2500. Call Brightbox today. Carl, one thing I think we do, if we learn nothing else from this big gab fest that is a big waste of most people's time here at SEC Media Days, we did learn from Big Bill Hancock.
What do you mean a waste of time?
This whole thing is a giant waste of time. But we did learn from Big Bill Hancock from the College Football Playoff Committee. If you look at Wisconsin last year, they were the odd man out. Alabama, even though they lost late to Auburn, they're right back in the mix. Georgia has no margin for error. I mean, they can't lose to LSU, can't lose to those games early when maybe the defense is still learning its way, because Georgia's out-of-conference schedule is crap. And the best thing you can do as a Georgia Bulldog fan is pull for the Jackets. You better have it. It'd be really nice if you had a 7-3, I don't know, I mean, a good Georgia Tech team when you play them late, because you might need that bounce.
You might need it. You know, he didn't specifically, and this is Big Bill Hancock, answer my question in regards to what's the precedent. And I said, if Alabama does it last year, is Georgia going to get that same bounce this year where maybe they lose late, they don't play in the SEC championship game, but yet they get into the college football playoff? I don't think their schedule is good enough to do that, but he really didn't.
What did you say,
that.
43 it was ranked preseason based on win-loss from last year?
Strength of schedule is 43rd.
So if you go back, and you know, one thing that we talked with Commissioner Greg Sankey, the SEC, they're still not they're pushing back on the 9-game conference schedule that everyone else is going to, because they don't need it, because Alabama's a witness. And Alabama, you know, people can argue. I know Wisconsin fans said that Alabama's win over Florida State in the Chick-fil-A kickoff game at Mercedes was devalued by the fact that Florida State's wheels came off. But they look at it as, well, at the time, it was a big game, and Florida State was perceived as a top-5 team.
Yeah, I think, you know, when we talked to Commissioner Greg Sankey, and Jonathan Ledbetter on the way here in a second, but he mentioned this, Mike. No reason to go to a 9-game schedule, because 11 of the past 12 national champions have been from the SEC, where you talk about playing in that game.
Right.
5 different schools. So he's basically saying we don't need to add a 9th game to our conference schedule, because we've been playing in this game, and we've had 5 different schools participate. I don't know if he's right. Again, when you get back to how do you continue to say, hey, our strength of schedule matters, you should play people in your conference, but they're not interested, at least not right now. They're going to stay with the 6-1-1 format. Mm-hmm. Hey, man, it is Dukes and Bell live at SEC Media Days. Jonathan Ledbetter sat down with Rick and John earlier today as they were here to talk to him about Georgia. First thing they asked him is, have you ever been a part of anything like this, SEC Media Days?
I have not. Honestly, this is probably one of the biggest platforms I've been on, and it is honestly just overwhelming, and it's fun. I've had a great time today. Like I said, I got to do a little bit of male modeling, you know, got a little makeup done. I never got makeup put on me.
Really?
So it was pretty cool.
Now, did they give you wipes to take it off?
They said it disappeared in 10 minutes, so I was guessing some magic makeup.
What? Okay, I've worked in TV now 17 years with some of the best makeup artists in the biz over at Turner Sports. I think they were pulling a fast one on you, Jonathan Ledbetter, and saying he won't know. But you got to get Neutrogena is the brand that I use. It'll just wipe it right off. All right, I love it though. He's like, I'm doing some modeling, doing some TV. You guys are looking great, man. JR had the bow tie on, had a nice jacket on. You guys are turning it up a little bit, aren't you?
Yeah, we wanted to go for best dress, man. And you know, we always said that Georgia standard. So this is the Georgia standard. They got the suspenders on too somewhere in here, man.
Nice,
just got them hidden.
Now this is something that's definitely more your generation. We're old, so I got pants that fit to all the way to the shoe. That's Dwayne Wade, that's LeBron James. Is that something you planned? Like you knew you were coming here and I had to do something that's really going to stand out from the crowd? You got the socks, the shoes,
That
good stuff.
You got to get a little bit of the flavor. But honestly, they told us Friday that we had to come. Like, so we really didn't know, like, have time to plan. Luckily, I just got this suit tailored probably like 2 weeks ago, just time to get ready for the season, and I have suits. The shoes, they just came in the mail. I ordered them probably like a week and a half ago. So I didn't know that, you know, this event was going to be a thing. I had to put together a last-minute suit. But I ran to the store, got a good shirt. These socks, my favorite socks. Mm-hmm. I just bought these two, but they are not my favorite socks because they're pretty cool. But it was just kind of a last-minute put-together thing, and luckily it went together well, and everybody looked sharp.
You know, man, it's like NBA draft night here, right? with the apparel and all the stuff.
Except we're not going to make you change hats. You're not suddenly playing for Mississippi State after five trades.
There's no trade going on here. So four returning starters on defense that I see here in the SEC media guide: DeAndre Baker, Tyler Clark, you, and J.R. Reed. And by the way, we're joined by Jonathan Ledbetter, 6'4", 277 out of Tucker, Georgia, DN for our Dogs. That's not a lot of returning starters on paper, my friend. And what that means, and I can already tell that you got that vibe and that swagger of a leader, but you're going to be even more of a leader this upcoming season. Are you ready for that challenge?
I feel like you just got to embrace it, man, when it comes. I think everybody on our team has the opportunity to be a leader. You just kind of have to seize those opportunities when they arise. You know, it could be a quick second, whether it's like somebody doesn't finish through the line, and I may not see it, but another guy sees it, and he just tells me, hey, man, like, that's not what we do here, you know, finish through that line. And it's just kind of those small things that just build on positive leadership. And when I was a freshman, I never thought I would lead anybody. You know, I just thought I would get through Georgia, you know, I'd play well, you know, do my time there, and, you know, kind of move on to the next level. But it's crazy how you see those little things build on top of each other, and you build respect, and people just respect you because of the things that you do and the way you carry yourself out there.
Now, you're wearing the SEC championship ring. 2 years ago, Georgia 8-5. You win the SEC a year ago. Any change in mindset being the hunted now in the SEC, the team that everybody's wanting to take out, including Alabama?
Like I said, I mean, when you're the hunter, you got a target on your back, but that means they got to catch you first, man, and I just think we're running too fast.
So Jonathan Ledbetter hanging out with Rick and John here at SEC Media Days. So, Jonathan, let's look ahead to the NFL a little bit here. Is that on your radar right now? Is that a goal? Are you chopping wood? All the blood, sweat, and tears that you're giving to Kirby Smart, obviously it's for the Dogs. You want a national championship. You want to complete the redemption. But deep, deep down inside, are you also doing all that for you and your family, circa the cash from the NFL?
I mean, of course. I mean, my mom was a single parent. You know, my dad passed away when my mother was pregnant with me. She has four kids that she raised by herself. So I'd be doing myself a disservice if I didn't say, you know, I want to go to that next level to be able to take care of my mother, to be able to take care of my family. But right now, you know, one thing that she always taught me was be where your feet are. So I have no idea what's going to happen, you know, in this upcoming draft or, you know, coming with the NFL. You know, I'm blessed with any opportunity that I get. But I'm right now at SEC Media Day with my feet right where they are, preparing to go into fall camp, preparing for Austin Peay. And that's really my main focus.
Do you hear this perspective right here?
One of the guys we work with, giant Georgia fan, he always goes, you can't look past Austin Peay. Is that you? Because South Carolina's been talking trash, some former guy that we had to look up to even know who the hell he is, saying we're going to take out Georgia in week two. Is it tough to not look past Austin Peay and go to South Carolina?
It honestly is just kind of funny because, I mean, you see everyone, you know, talking trash and just saying everything, you know, saying this and all their predictions, but most of them aren't out there, you know, so they don't really know what is really going on. I mean, the game of football has changed, so I don't know who said that, but I'm pretty
sure. Torrey Gurley, not Todd Gurley, some guy named Torrey Gurley that used to play for South Carolina.
So, I mean, it's changed over the time, but honestly, you got to take it one game at a time because it's not even that we have South Carolina next because there's always going to be that next team. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Austin Peay, okay, they still have a football program. They still have a team. They still have won games in the past. And honestly, if you sleep on that, I'll just go back to when we played Nicholls State. That was almost a dangerous game because, you know, we kind of slept on them. And you can't do that with any team because it really is any given Saturday. And you're going to get everybody's best, especially with being the hunted. That's, I guess, what we're getting now.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you just have to be prepared. I mean, you prepare every game the same way because if you prepare the same way, you'll get the same outcomes. So if I prepare any differently than I prepare for Austin Peay for South Carolina, you know, I'm going to come up short or something different is going to happen. It's going to be a different outcome.
I would say that this guy is a get-it guy for sure. Jonathan Ledbetter, senior defensive end for our Dogs. And, all right, so I got to Austin Peay, Austin Peay. All it is a name on the friggin' schedule for me right now. I don't know crap about this team. Do you know anything about Austin Peay? Do you know who their quarterback is? Do you know what kind of
– Do you know their mascot?
Do they run a spread or are they a smash-mouth offense? What are we talking about here?
I don't know their mascot.
They're the Governors, by the way.
Okay. We just started watching tape on them. I've been studying their offensive linemen. They got some big guys that can move okay. They're literally going back to when I used to play high school football at Tucker. All we did was run a wing T. So they're going to try to do some things like that. They'll definitely spread us out just because, you know, Georgia's a super physical football team. Like, you can't knock that at all. That's just the facts. And it's hard to kind of run on a physical football team like that. So you kind of have to do different things. And I'm guaranteeing that's what they'll try to do. They'll probably try to run the ball on us too. And we'll just continue to play Georgia defense and, you know, do what we got to do.
Jonathan, best of luck this upcoming season. You got superstar written all over you, man. Best of luck this year and then
thank
in the
you, Jonathan.
NFL as well.
Good dude, man. It's always fun to hear what these guys get to say because, again, rarely do you with Georgia hear what some of the underclassmen have to say other than if they're preparing for a semifinal championship game.
It's true.
But Ledbetter, a guy that like, he knows what's out there and not going to take the bait about some analyst that no one ever heard of from South Carolina. But to handle your business against Austin Peay because you do have a young defense. And we talked about this. It's all about you believe, and we're going to see the proof's going to be in the pudding, but based on the recruiting, that Kirby has built the kind of class that's going to step right in, you know, if all goes well, because you just put a bunch of guys in the NFL and those guys won't be the same, but they should be pretty darn good based on the expectations for their recruiting.
Yeah, and I'm going to say this. I know it maybe not, it's not in Kirby's nature, Mike, but in these early games, because of the way the schedule plays out, score a lot of points. I mean, we talk about style points not mattering anymore,
right,
and, you know, all of the things when the committee gets together. But I'll tell you something. If you can put up 45 or more on these teams early on, like you're talking about Austin Peay,
right,
you should do it. Because if you're getting some grinders during the regular season in conference and you're winning by 6 or 3, and they may have some of those games, I don't know. Last year it seemed like Georgia just took command of games and ran away from everybody. But my point is, leave no doubt. Leave no doubt about this early on, the schedule early on, and people questioning, hey, they should have beaten them by a lot more. Go do that.
Well, you know, it is funny because we talked to Big Bill Hancock, and we try to figure out what is the secret sauce they're looking for in that college football playoff committee meeting room. You know, is it the margin of victory? Is it game control? You know,
right,
so,
right.
Again, take all the guesswork out of it. Hey, man, no guessing here. Let's give you some loot with our national signing bonus contest.
All right, time for our code word right now.
Now it's time to reveal our national signing bonus code word. The code word is
fear.
There's too much fear with Georgia fans of this quarterback controversy.
There is.
F-E-A-R.
Fear.
Fear. Fear goes to 72881. That's this hour's word for the national signing bonus contest. You're shot $1,000, man. What's that word, man?
Fear. F-E-A-R. All right. And don't drive and text, guys. We'll give you another chance to win $1,000 coming up. Brad Nessler set to join us in about 30 minutes. Also, we're going to talk to a guy that talks college football literally for a living, and you get a chance to watch him on ESPN. He's set to join us here in about 7 or 8 minutes.
Darinoka's going to stop by.
Darinoka's going to stop by. So stay right there. We got plenty more to come here live at SEC Media Days. It's Dukes and Bell. It is Dukes and Bell. We're live at SEC Media Days, day two. We heard from Kirby Smart, guys. We'll let you hear from Kirby coming up. Our buddy Brad Nessler is going to join us as well. He is the voice of the SEC on CBS. And, of course, Ness is a friend of the show. But right now, we sit down with the guy who also you get a chance to watch, SEC fans, because he is a guy that you watch frequently. SEC Network, a studio host and the lead anchor. It's good to see you, man. And I know that you, when we get to this time of year, it kind of, you know, that amp, it gets amped up. You start to get excited about the football season.
I do, but I'm not going to lie to you. Like, people always ask, you know, oh, you must be ready. You excited for football season? When it gets here, it'll get here. Like, I'm not, like, why are we rushing summer, man? Like, why
Roger
are we
that.
Hurrying summer?
Roger
it'll
that.
Get here, and when it gets here, it'll kick our tails, and that's fine, and we'll enjoy the tail kicking, but, like, let's not rush this thing. It's summer.
Darinoka's with his guys from ESPN and SEC Network, and again, you see, as Carl said, he's ubiquitous. He's everywhere.
Speech time.
Weekend.
Try to be. Speech time.
But we were saying earlier with Dar, I love the pipes, man. I mean, Darinoka. I mean, you go to radio school for those pipes?
No, I don't know where they come from. I have no idea. It scares the heck out of my kids. My dog listens to me, but nobody else because of the pipes. There are times that it comes in handy, you know. Drive-through windows, I never have an issue there. So it's good to be loud, you know. It's good. My wife is almost certain that the cat hates me because she's scared of me, because of the voice.
Okay.
So there's drawbacks, too. I can't pet my cat.
You grew up now. It's funny because you guys have talked about it on the coverage. You're an Oklahoma guy. So
yeah,
obviously here in Georgia.
I mean, it
was one of the greatest college football games of all time.
Boomer.
I knew you were going to go there.
Yeah, good.
But let's ask you as a Sooner fan. Why didn't they dial up more Baker Mayfield in the second half? You think Lincoln got a little scared away?
I was there. I was on the sidelines. I was actually there covering it because Georgia was in it. I've never left a game feeling like I got kicked in the you-know-what more than that one. No, that Lincoln will have a hard time living that one down. They took the ball out of the hands of their best player in overtime, second half in overtime, and it was costly. That was painful, man. That hurt. Quit laughing over
Hanging there.
No, that one hurt.
Samuel, get some brown liquor for Dario. Yeah, that one. I took him down a dark
brown
road.
It doesn't matter what color.
Being a Texas guy, I could never laugh at an Oklahoma guy. I would never do
you
that.
You can't.
I could never.
Because you've
do
seen
that.
Too many 50-point routes the other way. It's all good.
Hey,
I got 65-13, 63-14. It's all good.
Only when Peterson was there. It's Dukes and Bell. Dario Noka joining us on the SEC Network. And you guys get a chance to watch him. So, listen, we're here. The coaching side, especially on the West, so much turnover, right? I mean, we were talking about this before we came in here this week. It's almost unrecognizable. There's Nick Saban. Okay, Ed Orgeron for half of a season.
Gus Malzahn, and then,
But even Gus, I mean, you talk about the longest tenured guy when you talk about the SEC is Mark Stoops outside of who? Right, Nick Saban?
Well, Saban and Gus. And then and then you've got Stoops and did Stoops come in with Gus? Stoops came in with Gus.
With Gus.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. Yeah, like, I mean, Orgeron is there are like four guys that are in their third year. I mean, that's – or in their fifth year. I'm confused. I don't know what I'm at. Here, I'll tell you this number. 26. The SEC Network came on the air in 2014.
Okay.
There have been 26 different head coaches in the league since 2014. That's a remarkable number. Two programs have had three head coaches in that time, Florida and South Carolina, if you consider Sean Elliott, who was an interim basis at South Carolina. So, the turnover in East and West has been incredible. Yeah.
Gus Malzahn, by the way, 13, same as Stoops, because I remember it was Jeremy Pruitt took over for Stoops at FSU when Stoops went to Yale.
There were four guys that came in that year.
Right.
Bielema was in that same class as well.
Yeah, and he's gone.
Yeah, and he's gone. So it's unbelievable.
Yeah, the reason why I mention that is there's so much, even though there's excitement, that we really don't know.
When you
start talking about what we knew about the SEC West specifically and what to expect, all these coaches are coming in. I mean, Dan Mullen, obviously he knows the conference.
Yeah.
But outside of that, when you start talking about, these are Chad Morris and company, we're not really sure what to expect.
It would be fun to be able to fast forward 5 years because I would love to see 5 years from now what kind of athletes Chad Morris has been able to get to Fayetteville. I would love to see how close Texas A&M is to national championship level. We have to be, I want to see in 2 years what Florida looks like because I think that can be a really quick turnaround with him. There's an incredible level of unknown. But that actually makes it, I think, a little bit more exciting to you.
Dario Noka's with us here, guys, from SEC Network, live on Dukes and Bell from Radio Row. Yippee-ki-yay, SEC Media Days here in the A.
Don't you talk about this thing like that. This is an event.
Later, Dario will break down how football is three parts. The thing that we've been talking about with Georgia is Georgia fans for years clamoring that this is where they should be, you got that secret sauce that Kirby brought from Alabama. So now recruiting is there. But what do you make of Georgia? Strength of schedule's not there, so not a lot of wiggle room this season, no margin for error.
Right. I think you can start to compare them to, I wouldn't say Alabama yet, but Clemson, Ohio State, that machine that starts to roll a little bit, that starts with winning, followed by recruiting, getting guys in the NFL, sitting in living rooms being able to say, we get guys in the NFL play for championships. That's what Nick Saban's done. That's what Urban Meyer's done.
Right.
That's what Dabo Swinney does, and I think that's what Kirby Smart's able to do. And it's becoming a scary machine, and the East is going to have to catch up to it quickly.
Right.
And I think Florida and South Carolina could get there could make it really interesting, but no, he's got something special brewing right now.
What's the funnest part of your job, Dari? What do you love?
It's a great question.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah, I know. You know what I love?
You're going Barbara Walters on Dari over here.
Not bad for a Longhorn. I you know what I like? I like
You got it. This is some serious Red River jive.
Let me tell you. Saturday night, during the football season, Chizik, Doring, myself, sitting in studio when we're not on the air with eight games on in front of us.
Right.
You cannot beat that. The other part of my job that I love is every year I get to call a baseball super regional as, you know, teams play two out of three and go
cool.
Omaha.
Yeah.
And I've had really good ones the last couple of years. So, but I love calling baseball and I love watching football.
Well, we appreciate you coming on, big guy. We get Chris on during the football season as well.
Thanks,
he's down there in Florida. But, hey, man, thanks for coming on.
You got it, guys.
Thanks,
enjoyed it, man.
Appreciate
seeing
this. Texas and Oklahoma coming together.
Only for a short period of time.
Yeah, right.
We can spend time at the State Fair. That's about it.
Yes. Okay. Eating everything fried. You name it. Let's go.
There's our man, Gary Noka from ESPN. Again, SEC Network. Hey, guys, earlier today we did hear from Kirby Smart in the big room talking about a bunch of subjects that certainly Dog fans are preoccupied with, one being the quarterback rotation. And Kirby Smart saying that forget the red shirt rules, you're going to see Fields on the field almost every game.
Well, Mike,
that's what I read from it.
And I think this is the way that it should be. Again, when we start talking about guys that can come in and help your program immediately, why would you not find a way to use him?
Right.
You know, and again, I don't want to say that this takes away from Fromm or what Fromm's going to do, but let's enhance the offense any way possible. So real quick, let's hear from Kirby talking about pressure, because this was something that, you know, everybody's wondering, oh, the pressure. Kirby Smart answered it very simply, saying we embrace it.
We don't run from pressure. Pressure is a privilege, and that's the way we look at it. We've earned the right to have pressure, to have expectations on our program.
Also, Kirby talking about not having as much anxiety, Mike, delegating, you know, some of the responsibility. I think when you come in and you got a new staff and a new program, you're trying to do everything. And I don't know if that was a function of the first year or simply they just weren't that good and everything wasn't in place. But then, you jump to year two and you're playing for a national championship. So, obviously, he's got things settled down. But I want you to hear Kirby talk about last year's big games, because he believes all of that experience moving forward is going to help this team.
The experience that our players were able to have going through that stretch run, I think will draw confidence, not false bravado, but confidence in big games that we have in the future.
Again, guys, the big game, the Notre Dame one, was such a huge, huge win for Georgia. Really set the table and, again, had ramifications when it came to the college football playoff committee for where, you know, Georgia was despite losing to Auburn, you know, at Jordan-Hare. The big thing, though, that had a lot of Georgia fans talking already on social media was the comments about Fromm and Fields, and certainly Fields getting the shot. He called it a fantastic problem. Here's Kirby about his quarterbacks.
Every position on our team is a competition, so why would it not be that way? You know, is Jake Fromm the returning starter? Absolutely. He played for a national championship, but is every player on the team going to get an opportunity? Is every punter, kicker, holder, every position we're going to have great competition? And I think this year that's what excites me the most, is that you can go across the board with our top 85, you can say scholarship guys, or 100 including the walk-ons, we're going to have some awesome competition in camp.
That, of course, is from our midday show. Rick and John, who had a chance to catch up with Kirby Smart. Here's what I know about Kirby now. When we talked to Kirby the first year he got this job, you kind of wondered, okay, you know, he's been an assistant. Mike, you said this. Is he ready to be the head man? Is he ready to be the number one? Kirby commands the room. He came into the conference center this morning. Everybody was listening. Everybody was attentive. He knew exactly where he wanted to go. And I got to tell you, there are some guys who command the room. There's some guys who don't. You know?
Speaking of dudes who command a room, very casual today, rocking a Tommy Bahama shirt. We're going to talk to the man who's famous for as much as his silky smooth sounds, his haberdashery. Brad Nessler from CBS Sports joins us next right here live at SEC Media Days.
We're live at SEC Media Days, guys. Coming up 5 o'clock, it's the Falcon Report. More about Julio and the sighting that has everybody excited. and also Jeff Schultz from The Athletic.
Yeah, Schultzy and Dave O'Brien moving on to a new publishing entity, which I think, you know, you and I, by the way, I think we jumped the gun. We should have waited for the Schultz discount. More on that coming up. But join us right here live at our broadcast position.
Along
the media elite of the Southeast. It is Brad Nessler, everybody's
favorite
play-by-play.
Hey, man.
What's up, man?
Guys?
I just told Brad we're going to get him a case of that brew once I get it in the cans,
I figured,
man.
You guys had a cooler down here. That's why I came down.
Right on.
I was thinking.
Well,
no,
you came down with water on the rocks. I'm like Dean Martin over here. I didn't know what you had
in there. That'll change to some other rocks later. That's just water.
I hear you, brother.
Well, at least you know how we operate with the with
absolutely.
The beer.
Well, I listen to you guys at Twin Peaks all the time. I know you got your own beer. I'm jealous. Your own ale. Hey, man, AL, you showed me that what the can's going to look like. That's spectacular.
Thank you. Yeah, it's pretty cool, man.
Man, I love it.
We love the job, obviously, you do. The voice of the SEC mm-hmm. guys on CBS. You hear Brad Nessler each and every Saturday. And, you know, we say this. It's like you get a big game every weekend, right? I mean, every time you go, well, that's not a big – you turn around and it's a big game every weekend.
Yeah, we've got one, weekend a year, Carl, that we kind of look at it, and ESPN looks at it too and goes – what are we doing there, you know?
Right.
I mean, everybody knows that you're going to do four or five Alabama games. You're going to do four or five Georgia games. You're going to do three LSU, three Auburn, da-da-da-da. You know, so you can kind of look at the schedule, and you have a pretty good idea.
Right.
And, you know, this year we get an extra game because we're working week one with Tennessee and West Virginia and one of the, you know,
kickoff
deals
right.
in yeah. Charlotte. So that's going to be fun. I always kind of hated everybody else working that first week, and Gary and I and Allie at the time, but Jamie now sitting back going, dude, we need to be somewhere. You know
right.
what I mean? So we're going to be in Charlotte week one, and then it's Georgia and South Carolina, and then we Ooh. Go, man. I mean, then it gets
right.
intense from there on
now,
out.
You know, Brad, of course, you guys don't know, makes his home here in Metro Atlanta, so he's familiar with the Dogs. And so you know everybody's gone to the NFL. We've been pointing to that game, those two games with the Columbia in South Carolina and
yep.
Missouri,
yep.
where you got a young defense going up against some pretty good offenses.
Absolutely. And, you know, Missouri is a – that's kind of a scary deal because Drew Locke's that good, man. Mm-hmm. I mean, and you guys know that. But there's good quarterbacks. I think 75% of the teams have pretty good quarterbacks this
right.
year, which wasn't always the case. But if you just took arm talent, he's got it. Now, if they got anything else, I'm not sure, but that's mm-hmm. kind of a scary spot. And South Carolina would be the other one. And, you know, LSU, that's going to be tough.
Hey,
I know you had a guy on not too long ago, or the station did anyway, where it was going to be Georgia and Alabama for the SEC title, and they're both undefeated. Was it you guys, or
no,
was it the midday guys?
It was the midday guys.
Midday guys?
Yeah.
Okay, so
yeah,
I'm
yeah.
listening. I'm driving nice. Around. I'm driving around, and they're talking about that, and I go, I don't know if this guy's a blogger, if he's an actual writer, because I never heard his name. I didn't know
okay.
who he was, you
okay.
know? And maybe they said somewhere along the line, and maybe I just missed it. But I thought, you know what, I'll take that game right now. I wanted to call the dude and say, can you just guarantee that we get into Mercedes-Benz Stadium? We'll take that rating any day of the week.
No doubt about it. It's Brad Nessler joining us here. Obviously today, along with Kirby Smart being here, Dan Mullen. And, you know, the scenery's changed for him, right? He goes
yeah.
from his state to Florida. But Mullen knows the lay of the land there. He
yeah.
knows how to, you know, he was there during the Tebow years and had it rolling. He's an interesting guy in the aspect that I really think he can get that thing turned around fairly quickly.
Well, I think it's going to be a lot more fun, if nothing else. He was just up
right.
With our guys, and he walked in the room. And, first of all, I looked at his tennis shoes, and he still got the tag thing on it. And I said, what's with the tag? And he goes, I just go with what the players do, and they leave the tag on these shoes. And I said, well, if that's the case, why don't you get some flat-brimmed visors and see how good that looks on you on the sideline?
Yeah.
But anyway, I digress. He said, are you going to treat me like I've been in the league as a head coach for 10 years, or are you going to treat me like I'm a rookie because I'm on my first year at Florida? I said, I'm treating you as a rookie because you're in the first year at Florida, because that's how everybody else will treat you. But, no, he's, you know, like Gary said, he's kind of – accrued some money in the bank,
right
and you know, he doesn't have to turn it around in 1 year because everybody knows it's going to take a little bit of time, and he's got to find a quarterback and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, they used to have, you know, 10 CC Jeffersons or something like that, and now they got, you know, one or two of those guys. But their defense has always been good.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I always thought Jim was a good guy, strange a little bit. I mean, I enjoyed talking to him, McElwain, because he was kind of out in space sometimes, and sometimes I'm out there with him and all that kind of stuff. But I didn't think he ever fit there, I'll be honest with you.
Right.
So
you're right. And to your point, we were just having this conversation as right before you joined us, and we were talking about fit.
Right.
And McElwain, even though he went to two SEC championship
yeah, no.
games.
I don't know how that – well, that tells you what the East
what
was
the
about.
What the East was.
That
right.
But Ness, he never really fit as
no.
the guy.
No.
We were just saying that.
And then, you know, he was down – I mean, we were down there the week he did the I'm getting death threats and all that kind of stuff. So
right.
we go into the coaches' meeting, and we don't really know what to ask, what to say. And then, you know, the AD comes in, and we're like, this is really uncomfortable.
Right.
And then we have to do that on the pregame. And the opening, like Zook does it in the pregame, and then we have to do it in the opening. We're like, when can we talk about football instead of death threats? Well, that was so zany. And
yeah.
that's just from that point on, you knew he'd lost it. And
right. And then Georgia dropped a freight train on him in Jacksonville.
Jacked him pretty good, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah they did.
Brad Ness is with us. Adam Zucks is going to join us at some point. I mean, if he can squeeze it into his very busy media commitments.
You want us to just call you?
Yeah, we'll just give a call.
All right. All right,
I'll get out of here, Zuck. Don't worry about me.
No, nobody messes with Ness, man. Zuck can wait.
Oh, he does on the air all the time.
Squid Billy is now efforting Zuck, so we'll get him in here, man. Embrace the Zuck, as we like to say. And we got Brad Nesser with us live, the voice of the SEC on CBS. But that's the thing, man. I mean, we like the personality. Mullen famously today says, you know, Trump wants to drain the swamp. I want to fill the swamp.
That's beautiful.
Ben
I
Hill Griffin Stadium. We could use a little infusion of the Steve Spurrier dynamic. I mean, when you talk to Will Muschamp and Kirby, you're talking to the same guy when you prep for the South Carolina
pretty
game.
Pretty much you're talking to the same guy. And, you know, those guys haven't changed. They haven't changed from the time they were assistants. They were probably like that as players,
right.
You know, and that's okay. If it works for them, and it worked great for Kirby, and it's working pretty well for Will right now, and we'll see how week two goes. But
you know, you were talking about McElwain. That was a strange fit. Ed Ogeron, everyone loves the guy, but it seems like he
last year. Of course you do love me.
Did win nine games, well, Ness, but. Yeah.
You don't mind if my wife comes in for the coaches' meetings, do you?
I'm like, well, she's a lot prettier than you are, so I don't care. It's in the water
down there,
yeah,
man. So what do you make of LSU, man? They have a quarterback with Burrow from Ohio State.
Yeah, if that's going to be the guy, or is it right. going to be, you know, Miles Brennan and whatever, that young little skinny kid that they say has a big arm, I don't know. If they ever get that figured out, you know, they'll always find a tailback, I think, and they're always going to have good defensive players. Their wide receivers are pretty decent. But that's been their deal, I mean, for a long time.
For a while.
The
one thing keeping him
even
out.
Even when Les was there.
Yeah, for sure.
It is.
And you got to have one now. I mean, I think back in the day, it didn't matter. If you don't have a quarterback, you don't have a chance. It's just like the NFL now. Not necessarily the same type of quarterbacks, but you better have one that can do either one thing really well, two things preferably really well. And, you know, and if you got leadership, you got three things you can do, then, you know, and some teams have two of them, like Alabama and Georgia might even have two. I don't know. But there's good quarterbacks around. Bentley and, you know, we talked about Locke and Fitzgerald at Mississippi State. There's some good quarterbacks around the league.
Brad Nesler joining us, the voice of CBS college football guys. You watch him on Saturdays. I got to ask you because people accuse me. I don't know why. They accuse me of not liking Alabama because I'm critical of Alabama.
Why do you hate Alabama?
I know. But I want to make it clear. It's not that I don't like Alabama. I think there's a dislike for anybody that wins as much as they do.
Like the
right?
Yankees. Sure. Like the Yankees. Right.
Okay. But I got to ask you on a personal level, when it comes to Coach Saban, I love Coach Saban.
I do too.
I love the way he handles things.
Yep.
You know, you watch a press conference, he's like, oh, I just want to be able to take the grandkids on the boat ride. You know, he just says whatever the hell he wants.
Yeah.
But the guy can coach. But is he that personable when you guys deal with
he's,
him?
I like being in the meetings with him. And I was on his radio show last year when we did one of the Alabama games. And whole different atmosphere. You know, Miss Terry comes in, sits down. The place is packed. You got people coming in like the morning before to park at, you know, Baumhauer's or whatever.
Right.
You know, they get tickets out there. They don't care. You know, they park next to fire hydrants. It doesn't matter. And then Nick walks in, and he always gets his hair cut every Thursday afternoon, you know. So he walks in with like three security guards, three policemen, you know, from Alabama, three of their finest. And he's got his wife right there in front. And Eli does the, you know, the whole show. Eli talks about, you know, I don't know, women's volleyball or whatever until Nick gets there, you know. And then the whole dynamic of the show changes. But, you know, then Nick starts telling stories, and it's awesome. And he's really good in our meetings, too. I mean, he's pretty straight-laced until you get done asking him about the game.
Right.
And then if you ask him about his granddaughter or something else, he loosens up. He's still got to go to the, like, alumni meeting. And so he's always decked out, and he's always dressed to the nines when he comes into our meetings. But I enjoy him. And, you know, he'll spend about 45 seconds with us at practice on Thursday because he sees Gary and I standing over there, and he'll wait until practice is about half over. He'll come over. He'll shake our hands. Hey, Brad. Hey, Gary. Good to see you guys. I'll see you tomorrow at 11:30. And don't be late. 11:30 and don't be late.
Sharp.
You know?
Yeah. Sharp.
So, but anyway, you know, I like being around the guy. I really do. And he's not as dry as everybody thinks.
Yeah,
he's not in a bad mood like everybody thinks. You know,
right.
So.
And that's so funny. And by the way, speaking of your partner, guy Gary Danielson does an amazing job. I always get a kick. I suppose he could probably do it almost every play, but it would take some of the excitement out of the game of handicapping what's going to happen.
Oh, yeah.
You know, he knows it.
Well, he does. And, you know, I kind of got a kick. And God bless him because he was up for an Emmy. So was Gary. But Tony Romo was up for an Emmy in his first year. Gary can say what's coming just about every play. He just chooses not to. And Tony made a living out of that in year one with Jim. And more power to him. And people love that. You know, I think it goes too far at times. And we've even told the bosses, we've told Tony, you know, and not that he has to listen, you know, but you can't do that every play. But those kind of guys can do it every play, and
right,
so can Gary.
Right.
You know, he chooses not to do it that way.
Brad, we're looking forward to the season. We're looking forward to hearing you and watching you, obviously. And Brad, by the way, is a fan of the show. How's my
I
man?
Listen to you guys every day, man.
Well, thank you so much. How's our man Ric Flair doing, man? You talk to Flair?
I'm going to tell you off the air how he's doing, but he's doing well.
Okay.
He's doing well. I just texted him the other day, and he's still coming back,
right,
and he'll be 100% soon.
Good. Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, Ness, by the way, a couple of years ago during our anniversary, calls in and is like, hey, I got a surprise for you guys. And we're like, oh, okay. And it was the Nature Boy.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And the Nature Boy calls in.
We're out in the burbs having a couple of cold beverages. And I said, we got to call these guys.
These two idiots.
So, you know, and Mike didn't get it right away.
No, I had no idea at first. I thought it was a spoof.
The guy that has done Dusty Rhodes for so many years, and Rick gets on and goes, woo! And then he thought it was me that was doing it. And Rick finally goes, I don't think this guy knows who I am.
Yeah, he's like, what the hell is going on?
No, because when they started playing the Nature Boy, the 2001 intro, but we couldn't hear it in where we were on remote.
Oh, that's true. That's
and so we're like, what? Yeah. And then we're like, oh, it is Ric Flair, real Ric Flair.
Yeah.
As if Ness had like some stand-up comedian doing like Ric Flair impressions in his living room.
No, but we were just abusing the suburbs out in some of the dives out there.
Well, hey, man, again, you got West Virginia taking on UT, and then, of course, we'll hear him guys in Georgia's game against South Carolina with Gary, man.
Yep. Then we got Auburn, LSU, I think, after that.
Ooh, big revenge factor, because Auburn really got better of LSU down than us.
Yeah, we're going to try this year not to have a three-week span, guys, where you had me on, and the cumulative score was 142-7, I believe. I know it was 100, and I think it was 100 and nothing when I was on with you guys.
Right.
I think Georgia beat the crap out of somebody 42-7 the following week or something.
Then you're
like
in Bob Uecker mode, you know?
Right.
I ever tell you how much I love tequila?
It is true.
Hey, man.
Hey, man.
Ale time at that point.
Good to see you, brother.
Right, good to see you.
Thanks, Brad. Appreciate you, bro. As always.
Okay.
Hey, guys, we're coming back. We're going to talk about the Falcons. Julio, Falcon Report on the way. Also, what the latest is from here. SEC Media Days. It's Dukes and Bell Live.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s?
It's better over here.
Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.